In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It felt strange to begin the liturgy without singing Christ is Risen, but the last time we did that was yesterday, because now we are moving along as life goes. Jesus was incarnate, lived on the earth, first in obscurity, and then for 3.5 years in the public eye in ministry, gathering his disciples with him. Then he was crucified and died. Then he rose again. Then he ascended into heaven on the 40th day after his resurrection. And that's what we are celebrating today. And then 10 days later, the promise of the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and disciples. And the power of the church was given to the church. And now we are in this day. All of these things are necessary for our salvation. And when I think of the ascension, something we talk about, something we know about, Jesus rose into the heavens. Okay, it's a story. It's a reality for what's going to happen to us. I think images are very powerful. Stories are very powerful. In the human experience, stories are actually the things that people remember the most. They might not remember much of what you've said to them, but if there's a story about something you've done, they'll remember that. Jesus spoke mostly in stories, right? Parables. Well, the ascension is not only a story, but it's also a reality. And I don't know about you. Perhaps I'm just a little bit wired differently than a lot of people. So I thought that from the time I was a child, that I was just a little different. I really understand and feel deeply the corruption that's in this world, first in myself and then in others. And as a priest, I encounter corruption all the time, and I'm trying to do something about it. I deal with people who are very sad because of things that are not going right in their life, and they don't know what to do about it. Deal with people who've had losses. Deal with people who have addictions to sin. And of course, I have addictions to sin. So I feel very much my corruption. But that's not what I was born for, and that's not what you were born for. Now, we could speak about it, and we could have a big dogmatic theology textbook, and with all the speaking that I've done and all the teaching that I've done, if I could collate it all together, it would be a big book. And it would basically say one thing. We're made in the image of God because God loves. He made us to be like Him, and salvation is to become like Him. We can't become like Him without Him becoming like us. And so all of our life is the process of becoming like Him by grace. And it's a wondrous thing to be like Him. That would be what the textbook would say. And that's what I've said 1,000 times, 10,000 times. But a picture, I think, is worth even more than those words. Because when I do things in my life, I'm not motivated by the words that I've heard or the words that I've said. I'm motivated by an inner conviction. An inner conviction is not something that happens with words. It's just who you are. And so this story and this reality of the Lord ascending into heaven is something that deeply motivates me, because this world is corrupt. I want to leave it. I want to leave it behind. Don't you? No, of course it has beautiful things in it. I mean, I have a beautiful grandson that I love very much. 2 more are on the way, grandson and granddaughter. Other beautiful babies that are being born in the church. Those are all beautiful things. But the world inherently decays. Everything in the world decays. Even the beautiful baby is going to decay eventually. And I don't like that. And the ascension shows us that there is no decay. There's no death. Not only are we alive in this sort of theoretical sense that, okay, we can resurrect from the dead. Well, what does that mean? That means that with our bodies and our souls, we'll be with God. That everything will be perfect. That there'll be no suffering, no sighing, no death. That is something wonderful. And that's something that should motivate you. The saints, they felt that vision so deeply that that's what made them do everything. And I would submit to you that feeling that vision deeply, not in words now, not in teachings from a book or sermons or even the words of the scripture, not in those things, but in the deepest conviction of your heart, if you think that indeed you were made to become perfected and to be with God in body and soul, then that conviction should inform everything you do. That when someone is nasty to you, you're kind to them because of the ascension. That when you're lazy, you become a little bit more industrious because of the ascension. That when you're angry, your anger cools faster, or you ask forgiveness sooner because of the ascension. Now, I'm not talking about that you are angry and you think, oh, the ascension, I should do this. I don't mean that. I mean there has to be an inner conviction. It's a marvelous thing. I like that in the Apostle Luke's story in the Acts, which is our best example of the ascension. That's the only full story of the ascension that we have. It's basically mentioned otherwise in the scripture. That after the ascension, as the Lord is rising into heaven and eventually gone from them, they're gazing into heaven. Well, we would too. An amazing, inexplicable thing just happened, and they're gazing into heaven. And then two angels come and talk to them and basically mildly rebuke them, say, what are you doing gazing into heaven? There are things to do. There are things to do because of what just happened. In other words, what just happened should motivate you to live the Christian life, to love your brother, to love your enemy, to preach the gospel, to give to the poor, to comfort the afflicted, to visit those in prison, to feed the hungry. All of those things. And that we shouldn't just be gazing into heaven. Now, it's good to remember heaven, though. It's good to remember that we will go to heaven. Not in a childish way, we'll remember that. In a mature way, as fully developed, fully cognizant, fully perfected beings with body and soul. So that should motivate you. For me, that's what ascension does. Now, because there's a few of you here, I think it's important for you to understand, I would say, the three main points of ascension. This is the theology now. I personally think the story is much more powerful. That's what makes me get up every morning, is that. That's what makes me go to prison when I don't feel like doing it. That makes me do everything. Unfortunately, since I don't fully attach myself to that, that's why I sin. But for anything good that I do, it's because of this vision of who God has made us to be, and that I'm becoming that person, and you're becoming that person. But still, it's good to know the background theology. We should understand things from the scriptures. So ascension really has three dogmatic pillars that we should understand. One is that by the Lord ascending into heaven, we will too. It's a promise that we will too. So now I just said in plain words what I talked about for the past 10 minutes, this vision that we should have, that there will be no corruption. The promise is in that Jesus coming up to the heavens as a man, because he is man as well as God, that our flesh will actually be with him also. So that's the first pillar. And the other pillar is that he himself had said that he would not send the Holy Spirit until he left. His disciples were very sad just before the crucifixion. They didn't really understand what was going on, but they knew something bad was going to happen. And they really didn't want to think about what was going to happen. And so they weren't able to put the pieces together and know that the Lord was saying he was going to be judged, he was going to be crucified, he was going to be resurrected. He told them over and over, but they couldn't understand it. But one of the things he told them in order to sort of ameliorate their sadness was, if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come to you. So this is Jesus going away. He no longer walks the earth. This is the job of us to do. We are to be Christ's now. So he went away, and then the Holy Spirit came 10 days later. I suppose they should have figured it out. They probably didn't know. But Pentecost, the Jewish feast of Pentecost, is when, of course, the Holy Spirit came. Now it's the Christian feast of Pentecost. And the Pentecost was the celebrating the giving of the law. Well, the fulfilling of the law is through the Holy Spirit. The third pillar is that what the angel said to the men. The way you saw him leave is the way he's going to come back. In the judgment, the Lord will come on a cloud with all of the angelic hosts. All of those who have died before us will rise up to be with him. Those who are alive will then rise up to meet him in the air, and there will be the judgment, which I believe will be an instantaneous event. Everyone will be immediately aware of everything. There won't be time for people to post it or to tweet it or to call about it. There won't be any opportunity to say, here is Christ, there is Christ. Christ will just be there. It's described in the fourth chapter of Thessalonians very, very clearly. And so this ascension story is that promise of how it's going to happen. Not in all the details, but basically he's going to come from the sky. He's going to come over the Mount of Olives. And then we will enter into eternity. So you should know those three pillars about ascension. And there's many other beautiful theological things associated with it as well. But for me, the most important thing is this. This world is corrupt, even though there's beauty in it. But there's corruption and there's death in it. And in the next world, there'll be no corruption and no death, and we will be with the Lord. It is worth fighting for. And it is worth changing the way you act because of it. And it's worth humbling yourself because of it. And it's worth struggling to do what is right because of it. And that's what ascension means for me. God bless you.